Now, this is my outline that we're going to look through. Might be a little different than what you've seen before. The first five books of the Old Testament are taken from the Greek language. The word Genesis is not Hebrew, but it's Greek, and it means a new beginning, or beginning. From the Greek word genomai, means a beginning. It's also used for a birth. Exodus means a way out. It's a compound Greek of ek, out of, and hodos, a road or a way. Ek hodos. And Leviticus means to attach or twist together as a wreath, meaning to bring together or to unite. Numbers means to count or to take census. Deuteronomy is the giving of the second law. That's two Greek words also, duo, which is two, and nomos, which is a law, or second law. In the New Testament now, we have the same order as given in the Old Testament. Acts tells us of a new beginning of the church. Romans teaches the coming out of the world. So as we have Exodus there, wouldn't we? Romans is in harmony with the book of Exodus. 1 Corinthians was written for the purpose of uniting the church together in harmony. So there we would have the purpose of Leviticus. And 2 Corinthians was written as a priestly handbook for the church. So that would go along with Numbers. That's what it is. And then Galatians teaches the second law, the law of love, the law of Christ. See, we're not left without a law, are we? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, this is the law that we're under. See, this is a second law, isn't it? Not the Mosaic law. And we'll look at that in the 7th chapter of Romans. That's a wonderful law. It's a law of love, law of peace. And we could go on. Joshua is like what we would have in Ephesus, telling us of our inheritance and our heavenly place, or the land, the promise that God has given unto us, and so on. I don't want to go any further with that thought. But although Romans is not the first of Paul's writings, it's the most important of Paul's teachings, because it establishes the church. That's the purpose of the book of Romans. It's a book written to establish. And if we didn't have any other of Paul's writings, or let's put it this way, if we had to make a choice of Paul's writings, we would have to choose Romans, because in it is a structure of everything else of Paul's teaching. Now, so I say it's probably the most important book to the church of all these letters. And you've heard this statement before, it's like a hub of a wheel in which the other epistles go out to support the rim. You think of a wheel, my mind goes to when I was a kid and they had the old wagon wheels with iron rims around them. You guys aren't old enough to know that. But the spokes was really important to that, wasn't it? But the hub was more important, where it fit on the wagon. But the rim was important because it was a rim that touches to come in contact with the earth. So if it wasn't for Romans, we wouldn't have all the other epistles that motivated us while we're touching the earth. So Romans is a very important book for us to get in mind. All right, the divisions that I have set up, and we have some other divisions in our workbook, and probably in your Bible you have some divisions too. But in the first 16 verses is Paul's introduction. He introduces himself to the saints that he had never known. He had never met them. He just by reputation. In chapter 1, 17 through chapter 8, I want us to think of all of these chapters like the Supreme Court of the United States, only much higher than the Supreme Court, much more authority than the Supreme Court could ever have. It's the final word in here. God is seen here as the judge in this Supreme Court. The Holy Spirit is seen as the prosecuting attorney, and we'll see that as we go through here. Jesus Christ is our lawyer. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He pleads our cause. The job of the prosecutor is to prove that people are guilty. Now, I put all people because I want us to think of the human race that becomes guilty before God. And they're all worthy of death. In chapters 1:18 through 3:18, the prosecutor is saying that the human race is worthy of death, beginning with the immoral man in chapter 1, and chapter 2 through 3:18 is concerning the moral man. Whether he's Jew or Gentile or who he might be, they all are guilty before God. In Romans 3, from verses 10 through 18, is a written indictment against the whole human race. And then I put in there, which is the old creation. I want people to realize that the human race is the old creation. Chapters 3, 19 through 23, are the prosecutor takes God's law and quotes it as evidence that humanity is guilty. Then in chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is the final word of the prosecutor. And so he closes his case at that point. Then in verse 24, our lawyer begins to speak in our behalf, proving that the penalty has already been paid and that we're justified by his blood. Complete justification. You can't try two people for the same thing. If one person is found to be innocent, then because the penalty's already been paid, then there's no more guilt, is there? They can't prosecute him at all. And so in chapter 4 then, our lawyer brings Abraham and David on the scene. They're called a witness regarding the grace of God. Abraham was never under law. So without being under the law, and we'll see this now in chapter 5, whether they're under the law or whether they're not under the law, whether Jew or Gentile, Abraham was never a Jew. Moses was a Jew. David was a Jew. So whether Jew or Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, no matter who they are, God had no respect for a person. In Adam, they're guilty of death. In Christ, they're justified in life completely. And then in chapter 5 through 8, and I'm not going into that, but as we read it, we'll see that our lawyer tells the court the means by which a believer is justified, even by a holy God, before a holy God. And then I quoted here Ephesians 1:6. I think that's wonderful. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Oh, if I had a favorite verse, that'd surely be one of them. We're not acceptable in Adam. We're not acceptable in the human race. We're acceptable only in the beloved. And this is what we're saying in the book of Romans. Now, because Christ paid all that was due with his own blood on the cross, we who lay hold of his death as our death can be free to live for the one who loved us and gave himself for us. And then I quoted 2 Corinthians 5:19 through 21, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not computing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. We tell others how wonderful grace of God is. We witness, as Abraham and David would stand and witness on the witness stand, concerning how wonderful the grace of God is. We are ambassadors. And the word ambassador comes from a Greek word that actually has a thought of eldership, one who is old enough to know what's going on. And so, let's look in chapter 1 of Romans.